Well, it'd be nice, wouldn't it, if anything you wanted to see have happen in your life, somebody else just did it for you. They had the recipe, and you just could look and say, oh, it's all done. I didn't have to do anything. But life's not like that. Much messier than that. We're ending this service talking about a theme that runs all the way through the Bible, how God helps us when we're lost. The idea of lost and found actually originated with God, and we all spend some time in the lost and found. We're there, and then God finds us, and he helps us get to where we want to go. We're going to end this series talking about that, because when we're lost, it ripples out, and when we're found, it ripples out. So here's the good news right in your outline. The big idea, Jesus turns lost people into found people. Now, please know that when Jesus came to earth, he came to a super, super religious community. There was a national church. And it was no separation between church and state. And one of the things that he discovered was people that felt like they were lost didn't feel like they could be with God or be in church. And he welcomed lost people. He was more than willing to be with people that were lost. People that felt far from God or didn't know exactly how they should live their life. They weren't finding anything in the religion of their day, but they saw something in Jesus which brought a huge conflict and tension between him and the religious establishment of his day. Here's a news flash. It was the church of his day that put Jesus on the cross. So probably not the most friendly church you've ever been to. And I know, when you think about Jesus, sometimes it's like, well, who is he? He's a long-haired guy that runs around with flowers and a toga. But the real story was there was huge tension between Jesus and the church of his day, mostly because of the type of people that he hung around and was willing to associate with. So we're going to read, here's an example today we're going to read in your notes. One day when many tax collectors and other outcasts came to listen to Jesus, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law started grumbling, "This man welcomes outcasts and even eats with them." So there's the tension. Jesus is around all the lost people. Now here's a good definition of lost. I can be lost because I don't know where I am. If you've ever had that wonderful experience in the car with your wife, you know what I mean. I don't know why wives always know where they are in the car and husbands never do. And is there a worse place to have a fight than a moving vehicle? But I don't know where I am and she does. Lost people, I don't know where I'm at right now. Maybe you've been there. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm supposed to go in life. You can be lost that way. Or I don't know what I'm supposed to do. That can happen in relationships. You get stuck in a relationship and you feel lost. You don't know your next right step. You're afraid to do anything. You don't know which direction to go. You don't know what would be right. The last time you tried, it felt like you pulled the pin on the hand grenade, so you just feel lost. What should I do? Lost people. And Jesus is hanging around all those types of people. There's this big mixture, and the religious people, they don't like it. And so in order to reach them, and to make everybody else feel more comfortable, Jesus tells three little stories that we're going to look at today. And by the way, we can all be lost. In fact, we can even be lost and not know that we're lost. You find out later, say, man, what was I thinking? Why did I even do that? Everyone can be lost. We go through phases and we're lost. The good news is Jesus gets us found. So let's look at the stories. They're kind of cool. The first one, your notes, lost sheep, we're calling it. So Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you, so now he pulls everybody into the story. Hey, what if this happened in your life? Here's the story. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. What do you do? You leave the other 99 sheep in the pasture and go looking for the one that got lost until you find it. When you find it, you're so happy that you put it on your shoulders and carry it back home. Then you call your friends and neighbors together and say to them, I am so happy I found my lost sheep. Let us celebrate. In the same way, I tell you there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 respectable people who do not need to repent. So Jesus is saying, what if this was your life and you were lost out somewhere and someone came and found you and got you home and they weren't embarrassed about you. They didn't try to hide it. In fact, they told the whole neighborhood, they're finally back. Look, they've come home. Jesus tells the story. It's almost like he gives everybody the benefit of the doubt that's listening. He says, you're that kind of person, right? You're the kind of person that would do that. And then he goes on. Let's look at the second story. Or suppose a woman. So now he lets us have a little distance from it. He says, not that you would necessarily do this, but what if you saw someone do that? This is in the Bible. Suppose a woman who has 10 silver coins loses one of them. What does she do? He probably paused, wait for it. Everybody's leaning forward, and then he says this. She lights a lamp and sweeps her house and looks carefully everywhere until she finds it. I understand. I hate to lose money. I don't know about you. I can waste my money buying something I do not need, and it really doesn't bother me. But if I lose $5 in the car, I'll spend hours looking. I hate to lose money. So I guess she's the same way. When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says to them, I am so happy I found the coin I lost. Let us celebrate. In the same way, I tell you, the angels of God rejoice over one sinner who repents. So now he's giving us a glimpse of heaven. He's saying there's angels up there that are actually watching. When they see a lost person, they're like, whoa, party time. And notice in this story, you would think if you had 99 of your sheep, I mean, that would be good enough. I mean, that's an A in any class. God is such a finisher. I mean, there's 100 sheep that he needs to get safely, and he gets 99 of them. You think it would be good enough. She gets 9 of her coins, but she doesn't get all of her coins. God is such a finisher. Not me. When I clean the garage, I often get to the very last part. There's a little bit more to do, and I'm like, that's good enough. That'll do it all. But God will heal all your hurts. He'll take away all your shame. He'll help you deal with all your guilt. All your relationships matter to him. He doesn't portion out a little bit to the side and say, it's good enough. God's all in our lives when we get lost. Now here's the next story. This one's kind of famous. Jesus continued. So now he doesn't direct it to anybody. This story just tosses out there. He says, there was a man who had 2 sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Who does that? I mean, come on. I mean, think about what this son is doing. He's going to his dad, and he's saying, Dad, I don't want you, but I want your stuff. Now, if your son said that to you or your daughter, would you give it to him? This is an interesting glimpse of the heart of God. I mean, you wouldn't give it to them unless you thought it was in their best interest. What if this is a story about God saying, sometimes I have to get what I want before I'll realize it's not what I need? Have you ever seen anybody and you're watching their life and you just go, how come God keeps doing that for them? Well, what if he's just like super, super, I mean, he does know everything. And what if he just says, you know, I'm going to let them have exactly what they think they want. I remember my friend got quit smoking. He was like smoking and his dad caught him smoking or somebody caught him smoking. And so they came out instead of scolding him or anything, they made him smoke the entire pack of cigarettes in one setting. He was done smoking for a while. He got exactly what he wanted, but after an entire pack in like 3 minutes, he's like, maybe you have got something that you thought you wanted so desperately. And now you're wondering. Let's keep reading the story. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. So now he is in Vegas. I mean, he just goes right to Vegas with all of his money, and he's not in Vegas to play bingo. I mean, it's bottle service, VIP treatment. He's got his own room. I mean, he's like blowing his money and having a good time. And of course, when you have a lot of money, all your friends are along because they want to be with you. And he's just having this really super good time. Give me my money, straight to Vegas. It's party time. And everybody's listening to the story. Let's keep going. After he had spent everything, doesn't it always happen? Like when you're on a roll partying and you have spent everything. There was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So now all the friends are gone. All the money's gone. They come and they take you out of the VIP room. There's no more bottle service. No more money. No more party. So he went and hired himself out to the citizens of that country who sent him into the field to feed pigs. So now he's working at McDonald's. He was having a big time, but that's all gone now. He longed to fill his stomach even with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Interesting. Still looking for a handout. Hasn't hit the bottom yet. Maybe someone will take care of me and rescue me. Maybe someone will... Maybe I'll just look in the oven and say, we can eat right now. Maybe someone will make the changes that need to happen. Maybe someone will do the sacrifice for me. Maybe someone else will be disciplined. But no one helped him. So you kind of see now the father's plan is starting to work. Let's keep reading. So no one helped him. Here's what he says. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. Now remember, Jesus is talking to people that are considered outcasts, and he's talking to the religious community. They're all hearing this story right now. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of the hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. And if you're listening to the story, you could almost think it ended right there. Well, he learned his lesson. He knows what to do now. But remember, this is a story about how God treats us when we're lost. It's not just a story about what we go through when we're lost. It's how God treats us when we're lost. When you think about turning to God, how do you expect He'll treat you? And you don't have any leverage. You don't have anything to offer Him that you've done really, really super well. You have blown all the money. You have been mean to your family. Nothing has worked out. And you finally come to your senses and you decide, I think I'll try God now. How does it work? Now, Jesus is setting it up because He knows how the religious people treat people that are lost. He's going to give him a picture of God. Let's keep reading. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. How do you expect God to feel about you when you return to him after you've screwed everything up? His father was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. How do you expect God to treat you when you approach Him, when you've totally, completely blown it up? The son said to him, rehearsed speech, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring a fattened calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Now, a couple lessons as we wrap it up today. Number one, write in your notes. Everyone gets lost, but nobody is forgotten. The shepherd did not forget the sheep. The woman did not forget her lost coin. And the father did not forget his son. And yet I know sometimes when people get super, super lost, I can forget about them. Or maybe I just sort of write them out of the story so I don't have to deal with the fact of what they've done. And I don't know if I really forget about them as much as I just ignore that it's even happening. I have this really interesting video. This is a true story that happened in a video and about what it means to be lost and how people act. So check this out.
A little girl sits on her own, sucking her thumb in the middle of a busy shopping centre, looking scared and alone. So would you stop to see if she's okay? Well, more than 600 people didn't. As part of a TV experiment, two little girls were left alone on a London street to test the public's reaction to lost children. In the space of an hour, only one person stopped to see if the child needed help, while 616 walked on by. 7-year-old Uma was taken to Victoria Place shopping centre next to Victoria Station and left on her own, but with tight security around her.
Right, we've got a whole cluster of people.
So hard to watch people just walk by and ignore her.
Her five-year-old sister, Maya, also takes part in the experiment. And at one stage, a couple find her in their path and simply walk either side without stopping. Their mother, who watched from a short distance away, says it was shocking and heartbreaking to watch so many people ignore her children when they were clearly alone and vulnerable.
Yeah, I relate to that one. It's not like I can't see them. It isn't like they're not there. I just act like I've forgotten because they're too difficult. They've done too much to me. You know, the one little sheep that runs off, like I told that little sheep, stay with the rest of the group. Don't run off. Come back at curfew. Don't get involved in that relationship. You're not allowed to use the car. Don't spend all your money. But they just ran off. And I know they're gone. But I act like I've forgotten because I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with the child that runs astray. I don't want to talk about it with my friends. I don't want to have to deal with the fact that it had anything to do with my parenting or not my parenting. So I act like I just forget. And I just sort of ignore it and write it out of the story of my life. I just don't want to deal with it. They're lost, and I don't want to have to deal with them being lost, which works until I'm lost. It works until it's me. Because how I treat other people is exactly how I usually expect God to treat me. And when I'm lost, I think he forgets. And he doesn't care. And I'm too difficult. Have you ever been the lost one and it seemed like everybody forgot you, but they didn't forget you, and you knew they didn't forget you, but they just didn't invite you, they weren't reaching out to you anymore, you weren't included in family events, your birthday came by and nobody said anything? I have. I know what it is to do so much, to be the sheep that runs off, the coin that's hiding, the sun that blows all the money. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to sit out in amongst the pigs and look at your life and say to yourself, I deserve this. No wonder they don't want me around. I know what that's like. And maybe you do too. You almost convince yourself, this is what my life should be like. I had a best friend in high school, and when everything was falling apart, most of my family was like, you know, it felt like you were forgotten in the family, except for his family didn't. A best friend found it in their heart to take me in. His family became my family. When I was the most lost, they treated me like they knew I was there. They didn't forget me. Who's lost in your life and you're acting like you've forgotten them, but you haven't? Is it working? In God's world, no one is forgotten. And he's talking to a group of religious leaders, and he's saying to them, you're acting like these people don't even exist. He says to them, you're not even trying. You don't even care that they aren't at church. You don't even care that they're not turning to God. You're acting like you forgot about them. And every time they'd go to see Jesus, there they would be, and it made them matter and matter and matter. Because they had to remember, God doesn't forget anyone. And if you're here today and you feel like maybe he has, he hasn't. Let's look at the next little section here. Everyone gets lost, but everyone is worth finding. It's interesting how the shepherd responds, so unlike probably how I would. Instead of just forgetting and, well, if he makes it home someday, we'll talk then, he goes out and searches for the sheep. And when he finds the sheep, and when you read the story, maybe don't plug into this, but I raised a lamb when I was a kid, and like an adult lamb weighs 150 pounds. So like when he finds the lamb, he picks it up and puts it on his shoulders. Do you know you can be so lost that you have to be carried? When's the last time you felt like a deer who was looking into the headlights and it just wouldn't stop? I mean, you don't know what to do. You don't know where you are. You don't know where to go. The picture of God is he comes and he finds the sheep, and then he puts the sheep up on his shoulders, 150 pounds now, and carries it home. And when he gets the sheep home, I mean, I wouldn't do that. If I went to find the sheep, I would probably put a rope around its neck and drag it home. And the entire there would be a lecture. Do you know what you put your mother through? Do you know what the neighbors are thinking? Do you think we have nothing else in life better to do than chase after you when you screw everything up? And then I'd sneak him in the back, have him take a shower and a haircut and a shave, and then slowly work him back into the people around us. They throw a party. A party. The woman is sort of the same way. She throws a party for all of her friends and says, look what's happened for me. It's interesting, her story too, because it says that, so think about this when you see the story. It says she lights a lamp and she sweeps her house looking for the coin. Now remember, in those days, the house had a dirt floor. So as she's sweeping this floor, holding this lamp, looking for this coin, she's causing more and more of a mess. There's dust in the air. Everybody can see it because of the lamp. She's causing a huge, huge mess. It's not a tidy process to find lost people. Jesus is talking to the church. He's saying, you don't want all that dust in the air. You don't want to cause a big, huge mess with people. Do you know what the church was hoping for in that day? They wanted everybody to look like everything was perfect, all the families perfect. They wanted the church to look perfect. It's sort of like one of those type of people that have like a perfect silverware drawer. Check this out. It's like that right there. They were hoping, and if you have a drawer like that, you're sick. But you look how they all match. And they're all so awesome, and everything is perfect. And they say, that's what we want the church to look like. That's what your family should look like. That's what the workplace should look like. All your relationships should look just like that. We don't want all the dust in the air. We don't want all the mess that comes with people being together. We don't want the mess that comes with getting closer and working through conflict. So in lots of churches in America today, people go to church, and for 1 hour, they put as much effort as they can to look just like that. And as soon as they're out of there, baby. See, because now Jesus said, I can't have it look like that. Here's what he's saying. Because lost people look more like this. Lost people don't know for sure what they are, where they're going. Or, I know some of you guys are campers, and you're like, I want that. This is mine, this is mine. This little thing right here, this is what lost people look like. You can't put lost people in that last drawer, but look at a drawer that they fit just fine in. Let me show you East Lake Church. There's East Lake, a church for everyone. And guess what? This goes in there just fine. And that's what Jesus was trying to say. He was saying, hey, everybody can be around me, even religious people. Everybody can be with me. Everybody fits in there. And you're tempted to think, oh, I have one of those. That's a junk drawer. But look at it more closely. That's not junk. That's all good stuff. That's all useful stuff. Valuable stuff. We're worthy because Jesus loves us and wants to be with us. And when we look like this from time to time, because everybody does, we fit just fine with him. See? And that's what he was trying to tell everybody. He was trying to say to everybody. Now you think about the last one. So the first shepherd, he goes and seeks. And then you think about, you know, the woman, she goes and seeks. But you're thinking, what's up with the dad? Because he never even leaves. He doesn't even look for his son. His son is lost and he doesn't go anywhere. Do you know sometimes in the story it says he would go out onto the porch and he would look for his son. He'd be waiting for him to come back, which is painful. And Jesus tells the religious leaders of his day, you're not willing to go through the pain that it takes to be with people. You're not willing to go through the pain that it takes for God to restore them. You don't want to go out to the porch every day and look and look and hope and look and finally say, oh, he's not coming today. You don't want to pray that night and get up the next morning and go out again and look and look and look and go, oh, it's not coming today. He's asking them to consider a different way. And if you have anybody in your life that is lost and you've been looking and waiting and looking, you know what it's like to reach the end of it at some point and just say, I am done. I am so done. Just like in your own mind, like when you reach that time in a relationship or something and you just say, I'm done. Do you know at this church, when you reach that place, we don't say to you, come on now, reach down a little deeper. Come on, you're better than that. Come on, try a little harder. In this church, we say, I understand. Jesus says, I understand, you're done. I see the circumstances and I get it. It's as far as you can go. And now I have to take over. Because when you're done, I'm not. I continue to go after the one sheep. I continue until it's done and I find the last coin. I go out every day and I look when I know it's going to hurt again. Please let me take a load off, man, in your relationships or whatever you're going through with people. If you're done, that's okay with God. Go to him. Tell him, I am so done, God. And then let him give you the strength to go one more time. Because as you do, you'll be closer and more thankful that he's in your life. You know what was happening for the father during this time? He's waiting, he's waiting. His heart is getting right. And if you're waiting, that's when God wants to work on your heart. Can you imagine what it must have been like when he sees his son? What are the thoughts he goes through? How could he have done this to me? He took all the money. How could he have said, I mean, imagine the struggle in his brain as rehearsing what his son did. I remember when I have a little grandson right now, cute as ever. You know, I remember when I held him in his arms. How could he have treated me this way? That's called normal, folks. But as he's waiting, God's changing his heart. So when his son does appear, he can run to him and kiss him. He can say, whoa, whoa, I don't need the speech. I don't need the story. I am just so glad you're home. Which is exactly what God wants to say to you today. I'm just glad you're here. If you're lost, I'm glad you turned to me. I want to be with you. Who do you have in your life and you're acting like you forgot them, but you haven't? What's going on in your world, in your heart, where someone's lost or you're lost? How do you expect God to show up? Now, the last thing you can write in your notes, it's a bottom line, found people find people. This is what that means. We say people helping people find and follow Jesus. What we're saying is the best people to find other people are people that look like this. Because they understand what it is to be lost and go to God and get help. And they understand how to be with other people that are lost. They know how to be with them in a way that would turn them to God instead of into their own selves and their guilt and shame. And here's two questions I want you to think about as we throw some music on in Priceless. The number one question is, will you allow yourself to be found? If you're here today, there's some area of your life, will you allow yourself to be found? Question number two, who do you need to find? Do you know they're there and you're just walking right past them asking like you forgot them, but it's not true. And the only way you'll probably be able to do it is to go to him first.